If you have your Bible this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I'm thankful for this season. I don't know about you, but I've already had Christmas music going. Not waiting. I didn't even wait till Thanksgiving. I had it going here for the last couple of weeks, probably. I love it. And it's always a blessing. And I appreciate this time of year. You know, it's a sweet time. As long as we focus on Jesus, we don't get some of that other stuff out of order. But it's a blessing. So I want us to think this morning about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And last time we saw how that God has been at work in the lives of believers, building within us what we need. We have peace with God now. In verse 1. And then verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace today. And that's awesome. Because I'll be honest with you. You're looking at a real dirt bag today. Well, I'm made out of dust. And God breathed some life into me, but you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And so there's nothing special, in any of us. I mean, you know, you're all unique in your own special way. Some are uniquer than others. But it's a word, isn't it, Stephen? Okay, anyway. But God has given us this grace that we stand in. And then we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the fact that one of these days we're going to be delivered from this old world that we struggle through at times. Sometimes you feel like you're walking in wet concrete. And if you stop for very long, man, you're just stuck. And it gets worse. And the Lord's going to set us free one day. And I want to encourage you. Now, there's freedom in Jesus. There's freedom. So, you know, we get some of that here. We get some now. But we still have to deal with some things, too. So, I want to encourage you. We rejoice in the hope of what's coming. But we also rejoice because God is building hope within us day by day. He gives us hope. But then He builds hope in us. And that's the hard part, though, because hope comes through trials and through tribulations and struggles and difficult things we're going through. So, you know, it's great, but yet it's also a challenging work. And God's working to build character in us. He wants to build character because we're going to be given opportunities to do some specific tasks. Young person, you may look at it today and think, oh, no big deal, nothing to really worry about. Well, one day you're going to be a husband or a wife. One day you're going to be a dad or a mom. One day you're going to be, a boss. Or one day you're going to be a teacher. Or one day you're going to work in some specific area. You're going to serve the Lord Jesus within His church. And in that day, you need character. You need the proven character that God will build in you through testing you and trying you and making you struggle a little bit and making you work. And we don't like it, but it's a part of life. And honestly, it's one we need. So don't shrink from it. When you experience those moments, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give me grace. Give me strength. Help me through this. But He's able. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So then notice in verse 5. We're going to read verse 5. And so if you caught your breath and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? We've been talking about this hope that God is putting into us, building in us. And now Paul says, and hope maketh not ashamed. That is, it does not disappoint us. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Well, let's pray together. Father, in this moment, we just ask that You would receive all the attention. We pray that You would receive all the glory and the honor and any credit. God, we I just pray you'd hide me behind the cross of Jesus today, and you'd speak to hearts through your word and by the power of your spirit. Lord, I believe in the ministry and the work and the power of your Holy Spirit to do today what I cannot do, could never do. And so, Father, I pray that you would meet with us, speak to us, do a mighty, powerful, life-changing work in each of us, God. Lord, please don't let us walk out of this room the same as how we walked in. God, I pray for Christians today. Lord, give us a holy dissatisfaction with the status quo and the way things are and with living in a mediocre kind of Christian life. God, call us. Call us today and challenge us to walk with you and to love you with all our hearts and to serve you with our lives and to give you all that we are. Oh, Father, call us to this, Lord. And God, I pray for my friend who's here today who doesn't have a personal relationship with you. And Father, I pray by the power of your Spirit you would speak to their heart and draw them to the Father. And Lord, I pray that you would save them today and set them free. We thank you for this and we trust you now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And, you know, so for those of you who are not sure, let me remind you, we're a Baptist church. But that does not mean that we do not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. We do. And sometimes Baptists, though, have kind of shrunk from that and kind of, there's no need for that. The Holy Spirit is the reality of God's presence in our lives. I mean, He is the reality every single day. He is the unchanging constant in us. And we are changing. We're constantly shifting and we're driven around by the winds that blow. But the Spirit inside of us is unflinching, unyielding. And He is powerful. He is mighty. But also we see in this verse that the Holy Spirit is the expression of God's love for us. I don't know about all of you, but some of you look like you need a little love this morning. Just need a little love. And, well, Paul writes to us and he says that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is bringing the love of God in a powerful way into our hearts. And so He is expressing something that's powerful and it's wonderful and that we need. And so let's think about a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit. He says here in verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Holy Spirit is given. And sometimes we'll talk about spiritual gifts, and we're not really going to get into that this morning. But in reality, the Holy Spirit is the gift. And however He chooses to work in our lives, to manifest His presence, to do things in us that we need, that's His prerogative and that's His choice. But He is Himself is the gift. So when we think about this, then, you know, let's think about the love of God for just a moment. If you could get out your tape measure, Brother Garland, if you could get out your Fat Max, and you could measure the love of God, how wide would that be? I'd have to buy you a new tape measure, wouldn't you? How deep would that be? How big is the love of God? Well, I think we know the answer to that is that it's limitless. It's infinite. There's no end. And even if you started measuring it, you'd never come to the place where you'd say, okay, that's all of it. We've finally reached the end. You know? Well, what we need to understand is that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And this is not talking about our measly efforts to love. I mean, we love people and we love, you know, but I mean, our love is, it's weak. It's limited. And we need, first of all, the love of God in our hearts. If you want to love people, I mean, you may have somebody in your life, Bobby, who's hard to love. I don't know about that, but maybe. You may have somebody in your life who's hard to love. Well, the only way you're going to be able to love them is if you have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. I mean, and here's what happens with that. Here's what happens with that. In John chapter 7, in verse 37, our men's Bible study group meets on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m., fellas. Little plug there. We just went through this chapter here recently, a little while back. But in chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters.'" And he's speaking of the Holy Spirit here. He's speaking of the fact that when you come to Christ and you get saved, you're born again, one of the things that happens, and there's things that happen that in that moment that you're not even, and I'm not even aware of really, but God is doing. One is that He gives us the Holy Spirit of God. And now we have something within us that Jesus compared to rivers of living water. Rivers flowing out of us. And, you know, when I think about that, I'm thinking, man, I don't know, I think my river's kind of drying up sometimes. You know, it's, but you know what? The problem is not in the power of God or in the love of God. The problem is in within my own heart, my own mind. I'm limiting what God is doing, because I'm not allowing Him to work like He wants to. Well, when we think about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, He does this amazing thing when He comes into us. And I was reading a thought from C.H. Spurgeon, and he said, when he's talking about these waters that flow, living waters that flow out of us, he says it flows spontaneously. And here's the example he gave. And I'll just paraphrase his thought. But did you notice this morning the trumpet fanfare and the drums and the big moment right before the sun rose? Did you notice that? No? Okay. Well, here's the deal. Some of you are looking, they do that? No, actually, they don't do that. God doesn't announce the rising of the sun. He just comes up. Folks, God doesn't sound trumpets and do some big production for us when we have streams of living water flowing from us. It just does. It just works. It just comes. It's just natural. It's supernatural. It's not natural, but it works. It just comes like that. And so we don't have to have some big production. We don't have to have anybody, you know, looking at us or paying attention to us. We're just doing what comes, because that's what comes when you walk with God. You know, when you're saved, guess what? There's going to be some changes in your life. When you're saved, there's going to be some things that are going to happen in you that you can't even explain, because God just, He gives you a heart and He gives you a love and He just works through you. And sometimes it's almost without even thought or taking deliberation about it. You just respond. You just speak. You just act. And out flows this love. Some of you think, well, but preacher, what about the other times when I speak and something comes out that I'm pretty sure is not streams of living water? It's some rancid, nasty, dark, filthy, stinky water. What about those times? Well, those are the times when we're allowing our flesh to quench the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we're keeping Him from doing what He would naturally do in the life of a believer. Well, so it flows like that. It just comes. And you say, well, but are you sure that's not talking about, you know, Brother Ronnie or Billy Graham or evangelists or, you know, really special people in God's work? No. He's talking about every child of God. If you're a believer, God wants to do this in you. He wants to pour Himself out. You just take a quick poll. Is there anybody in your life that needs Jesus? Anybody in your life that needs Jesus? Well, you know, if we're awake and we're halfway aware, we're going to say, oh, yes. People all around us need Jesus. Well, guess what God's done? He's put you in their life for a reason. It's not just so you can, you know, decorate their life with your wonderful beauty. It's not just so that you can liven up their life with your incredible wit and intellect. It's so that you can pour out the love of God. Because if there's anything this old hurting world needs today, it's the love of God. It's the love of God. I remember the story of D.L. Moody. He was preaching. He was a great evangelist and preacher, and God used him greatly. But one day he said God just met with him, just worked in his heart in a great way, just touched him and changed him. And he said after that he got up and he preached the same message he preached before. He preached some of the same things, but he said suddenly things were different. And people were responding. And people were you know, coming to Christ. And he said it was simply the work of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is He magnifies Christ and He draws people through the love that He's given to you and to me. He draws people. People are drawn to that. People want to be loved. Nobody came walking into this room thinking, man, I hope nobody speaks to me today. I hope nobody shakes my hand today. Well, okay, there might have been somebody, but pray for them. We want to be loved. Well, the love of God is there, and it's everything we need. Well, so let's just think very briefly then. Let's just kind of trace the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. He's given to us. So let's think about what He does and a few of the things. And we could spend weeks and, you know, a long time on each of these probably. But let's just think about it. And the first begins, we'll start at least with salvation. Okay? So in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, what we find is this statement from Paul. He says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Well, the Holy Spirit is deeply at work when a person comes to Christ. When a person comes to know the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God is the one who is working. He draws that person, first of all. He draws them to the Father. He convicts them of their sin. I don't know about you. That's the thing I remember about being saved, is I remember being convicted of my sin. In fact, I remember being miserable about my sin. And I really was. I was just miserable. And if you've never been saved, I'm going to pray that God will make you miserable too. Well, it's worth it. It may not sound very nice, but it's really the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, He convicts our heart. He convicts us of sin. He convicts us of righteousness. He convicts us of judgment. You know, He shows us things about ourselves that we don't know. He shows us things about Jesus that we don't know. He shows us the truth. And that's what we need. We need the truth. We need God to speak into our lives and to work on us. And then He applies the blood of Jesus Christ to our hearts and our minds. And folks, that's the thing that saves. I mean, we can talk about all the stuff that we do, But folks, what saves a person is when the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He brings us to the place of faith and repentance, and we turn to Jesus and He washes us in the blood of the Lamb. And there's not six different ways to get saved. There's one way to be saved. And only one way. So, when we come to Jesus, well, that's it. Well, so the Spirit is at work in our salvation. Man, that's important. But then also, just notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he gives us a list here. He likes lists. Paul liked lists. So all you list people out there, you're like Paul in that respect. He says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed." And some in Arkansas would say, washed. But we'll stick with washed. You're washed, but you're sanctified. That is, you're set apart for God's use. But you're justified, made right with God in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So when you get saved, what happens is the Holy Spirit of God, He comes and He does this amazing work. And sometimes we refer to it in very simplistic ways that really don't do honor and don't do justice to what God has done. We say, so-and-so found the Lord. They found religion. They got saved. Well, you know, really, we were there. But we really can't take any credit for it at all. All we did is turn to Christ. Invite Him in. Trust Him. And He sets us free. Well, the Holy Spirit is involved in that. But then secondly, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. Now, in John chapter 14, Jesus gave us some great truths about the Holy Spirit. So, I want to give you some scripture here. John chapter 14. Now, look. Let me just say to you. If you're sitting there and you're growing a bit sleepy or weary or whatever it is, wake yourself up. Get your Bible. Start looking at Scripture. Start thinking about all this stuff. Don't sit there like a knot on the log and wait for the preacher to somehow amuse you or fix you or something. Put yourself into this. And you're going to get out of it what you put into it, really. But in John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." One of the names of the Holy Spirit, "that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Okay? "He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." So what Jesus is saying to His disciples here, and this is a departure. This is a change. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit's ministry. Think about it for a moment. The Holy Spirit came upon people, right? Came upon Samson. Came upon Elijah. Came upon Moses. Came upon all these people. And anointed them to do a task, a job. But it wasn't the same as it is today, beginning at the day of Pentecost. Because on that day, the Holy Spirit didn't just come upon them. He came to live within them. And there was an enormous change that happened in that moment. And so that is a huge factor. But we call that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is, He has made you His residence. Paul said, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're His residence. He's taken up residence within you. Well, that's an awesome thought because you think about it. The Jews had their temple and God met with them there. But today there's no temple to go to. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And He meets with us, communes with us, speaks to us deep within our soul. Well, He indwells within us. And so that inspires them, because what Jesus was doing is, in John 14 and 16, He was preparing His disciples for the fact that He was leaving. He was going away from them. He was going to leave them behind. But here's basically what He told them in a nutshell. He said, the Spirit inside you is better than the Jesus beside you. Okay? I mean, because honestly, Jesus was there with those men, but while Jesus was there with those men, there were other believers all around who, they weren't with Jesus. They didn't have Him right there with them. You know, if Jesus were here physically in this world today, He might be with this group or that group, but others, we couldn't all be there with Him. But the Spirit of God is able to be in the heart and the mind and the life of every child of God equally, all at the same time. So how in the world can God do that? He's God. He's God. We marvel at that. Well, He comes to indwell us and live within us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, Paul is just saying, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. You get saved, you get the Spirit. And He comes to live within us. He comes to indwell us. All right? Well, the third way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives is that in everything He does, He points us to Christ. He does not bring attention to Himself. Okay? That's not His work. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 14, He said, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. All right? Next, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher and our guide. He will be there to lead us and teach us. John 14 verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, He becomes our teacher. And that's pretty awesome, because the Bible is His book. He's written this book. He's inspired this book. He's breathed life into this book. And this book that we study, the Bible, is alive. It's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But we have the benefit when we read it. We have the author right there with us to help us. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I read the Bible, but I can't understand it. And there's parts of it that, you know, all of us struggle with. But folks, honestly, if you have the Spirit of God within you, you're going to be able to begin to understand the things you read and grasp the spiritual truth there. You're going to be able to get it. And if you're not, then that says to me that there's something wrong. Either you're not saved, or there's some sin in your life that you're allowing that's hindering the working of the Spirit of God, and you're quenching the work of the Spirit. Well, let's go on. Number five, the Spirit gives us assurance of salvation. The Spirit gives us assurance of salvation. Now, this one is important, because I've also had a lot of people say to me, well, I'm just not sure I'm saved. I've had other people say, well, you can't really know if you're saved. Well, the Bible does say you can know. And it makes it very definite. But how can we know? Because we can look back, we can say, well, you know, I know that on April 18th, 1982, I knelt there at the front pew of First Baptist Church of Cedarville, Arkansas. And Brother Mike Schumard knelt beside me, one of the men from the church, and I prayed and I invited Jesus Christ into my heart and my life. And He saved me, and I really feel like He did, because I knew a difference immediately and my life changed. Well, you can go back to that time when you prayed, and I hope you have a time you can go back to. But folks, it's not just about some prayer you prayed. Because I had some other prayers that I prayed before that didn't change my life at all. What you got to have is, you got to have a time when God worked in your heart and changed you. And so, you know, you'll meet people say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I prayed a prayer. walked the aisle, got baptized, member of the church. I hadn't been in 35 years, but I'm still a member down there. They better not have taken me off that roll. So I want to have that in my obituary whenever I die so that everybody will know. Never understood that, but anyway. Well, we can have assurance. And let me give you a couple scriptures that will help you with that. The first one is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. And Paul, and we'll get into this more when we come to chapter 8. But he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So here you have an identifier right here. Okay? If you're not being led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says you're not a child of God. You're not saved. Okay? You can say what you want. You can pretend what you want. You can say you're a Lamborghini. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily make it so. And so verse 14 just tells us that. But verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father." And then notice verse 16. "The Spirit itself," or Himself, "beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Folks, that's one of the most important verses for us as a Christian or as a new believer especially to get a hold of. Because it's the Holy Spirit of God who's going to bear witness with your spirit that you're saved. The Holy Spirit of God is going to be saying to you, yes, you're saved and you shouldn't say those things. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't act like that. You need to do this. You need to walk with me here. You need to follow me here. You need to obey me in this area. He's going to be teaching you, correcting you, guiding you, helping you. And you're going to be aware of His presence. Folks, you can't put the Holy Spirit inside a man or a woman or a child, young person, and He makes no difference. Can you? It cannot be. If the Holy Spirit of God has come to take up residence, then you're going to know in your heart, you're going to know that somebody's moved in. I mean, if any of you ever gotten married or anything, you know, boy, somebody moved in. Man, this is different. It's good. But, boy, things change. Well, the Holy Spirit, God comes into your life, things are going to change. There's going to be some changes made. And you need to be looking for that. You need to be expecting that. And if there's not changes being made, you need to be asking why. Why am I the same? Why am I living the same life? Why am I doing the same things? Why am I not growing in Christ? I mean, here we are at the end of November. Y'all aware we're at the end of November? 2016 is nearly done. We're going to flip some calendars here shortly. We're going to start a whole new year. But let me just ask you, as you look back at 2016, how have you grown? How has your life changed as you've grown toward Christ? Well, I want to encourage you. The Spirit of God is there to work within you and do this great thing. Another scripture I'll give you is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. And John writes, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." John was very much about this is how we know. This is how we know we're saved. Well, it's by the Spirit. You say, well, how do I know the Spirit? How do I learn to recognize the Spirit? Well, you learn it by experience. You learn by listening for His voice. And you learn by testing it to make sure it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are other spirits out there. And they will not lead you to Christ. They will not lead you to holiness. They will not lead you to the things of God. And also in 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, because He hath given us of His Spirit." Okay? There's some practical ways that we can know that that we are in Him. And we desperately need that. Well, as we think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, we're nowhere near finished with that. But we'll trust the Lord to give us an opportunity to put some more things in place there. But folks, what the Holy Spirit of God does, is He takes a man, takes a woman, takes a young person whose life is full of sin and of inconsistency, of bad attitudes, of wrong values, of wrong ways of expressing ourselves. He takes a person like that, like He did me. And I think back to the person that I was before I came to Christ, and I'm not much now. But oh man, I think back to what I was before, and I'm just like, oh, pitiful. And God loved me enough to send His Son to the cross and die for me. And He did the same for you. And the thing about it, when you get to the place where you're recognizing how bad and how evil and how wicked your sin was or is, that's where you're to the point God's ready to do some things in your life. As long as you're sitting there, oh, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm good for you. You're really not. But, you know, you keep telling yourself that. I'm okay. I don't need this. I don't need Jesus. I'm all right. I'll get saved later on, before, you know, before the end comes, before I die. You know, on my deathbed, I'll pray. You know, you just don't know that you'll ever live to see that day, and you have today. I want to encourage you, if you've never been saved, I want to encourage you to trust Christ today. Believe Him today. Settle it today. You may be living in doubt. You may be wondering about it and worrying about it and fretting about it and afraid. Well, don't live in that. Don't live in that. Do what it takes to get peace. You say, well, but preacher, I've already been saved. I've already walked the aisle. I've already done this and this and this and this. Don't matter. Do whatever it takes to get peace in your heart. Okay? The rest of these people don't live your life. The rest of these people aren't there when you lay your head on your pillow at night and you worry about things or you fret about something like this. And they're not thinking those thoughts. You are. You're the one having to live with this. And ultimately, you're the one who's going to stand before God one day. And He's going to ask you, what did you do with my son? Did you receive him? Well, if you haven't, or if you're not sure about it, settle it. Take care of it today. And it's as simple as opening up your heart to Jesus, trusting in Him, believing what the Bible says is true, that He died for you. Let's bow our heads. And if you're here today and you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, amen. That's awesome. That is awesome. I want to encourage you in this moment to just tell Him, just from your heart, to say to Him, God, I need You. Just talk to Him in this moment. There's no magical prayer you pray. There's no certain words you say. But you just express to Him the fact that you've come to the end of yourself and you're ready to turn from your sin and you're ready to trust Him. And so just tell Him, God, I need You in my life. I've messed up, Lord. I'm not a good person. I've done a lot of wrong things. I believe that You died for me on that cross, Jesus. And today I receive You. Today I ask You to save me. And I ask You to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash them away by the power of Your blood. Wash them away. I receive You, Jesus. Today, You are my Lord, my Savior. Just tell Him. Christian, you may be here and say, oh, I know I'm saved. And yet, sometimes we allow things that really shouldn't be in our hearts. I want to invite you this morning, if that's you. I want to just encourage you to take this moment. Say to God, oh, Lord, I messed up again. Lord, I failed. God, I ask You to forgive me and cleanse me. And I thank You that all my sins are under the blood of Jesus. Tell Him, thank You, Lord, that I am saved. But Lord, I need You to wash my hands and my feet. I need You to Cleanse me today. Wash my heart clean, my mind clean of this bitterness or this attitude, this ugliness, this thing that I have allowed. Forgive me. Change me.